Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The New York Attorney General falls in one day. Shocking allegations brought the state's highest law enforcement officer to the point of resignation. He's also the one who has been persecuting or prosecuting our clients in New York, innocent pro-lifers that he wanted to silence. We're going to be talking about him and the case on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Well, this guy we knew was thinking that he was above the law from the very beginning, because he, in the case that we represent, Scott Fitchett Jr., one of the 13 people who are pro-life sidewalk counselors, and in Scott's case, he just simply shares the gospel. He's an innocent person on a public sidewalk. And the New York Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman, filed suit saying, in New York or in the United States of America, we don't have the luxury of having the right to have our own viewpoint. And he wanted to silence him. He obviously felt that he was above the law. Well, now, Matt, we find that in his private life, he's exactly the same way, thinking he's above the law. But even worse than that, he is a person who abuses women, not just slanders them or tries to demean them, but literally beat them. And those allegations came out in the New Yorker. They were highly substantiated by four women and many others who corroborated the story. And in one day, this New York Attorney General had to submit his resignation.
Yeah, and a fifth woman, my understanding is, has now come forward. There may be other women that come forward. Apparently, he was given to drunken outbreaks of rage, and he claims, oh, he was just kind of into like sadomasochism and stuff and rough sex and so forth. But every one of these women are saying that he would beat them. It was non-consensual. So it's crazy that you have to talk about violence against a woman being non-consensual. But that's the world we live in. It was non-consensual. And we knew this guy was bad to begin with. Anyone who would just overtly trample the U.S. Constitution, who displayed a clear hatred for Christianity and the gospel, and was just such a rabid pro-abortion activists up to and including working together with people who literally want to overthrow the United States government, or one of the escorts there at the clinic actually is part of the American Communist Party, and which calls
and which
the
was
overthrow
a,
the government.
A
yeah.
witness that he himself called rather than prosecuting this person as he should, because it is a crime, a federal crime, to advocate the violent overthrow of the United States of America. He puts her on the stand. She doesn't prove his case. She actually proves our case that our client are innocent, but instead of prosecuting them, he uses them as a witness to try to silence innocent pro-lifers. Holly, before we talk about some of the things that he did that ultimately brought him down, one of the statements he said to one of the women that he beat, he said, "I am the law." And one of the women said, if there is a phrase that describes what he thinks, it's that phrase, "I am the law." And that's how he operated. He was Mr. Resistance against anything Donald Trump. He was the one who filed suit against the Trump University. He's the one who was going after Harvey Weinstein for his sexual abuse or harassment in this situation. He thought the law only applied to other people, that he, in fact, was the law.
Exactly. It was like he was making himself a god, so to speak. I think of it as hypocritical hot water, Matt, you know, because here he was, as a legislator, he sponsored a bill to criminalize choking in domestic disputes. And ironically, tragically, that same law may be the one that sends him to prison.
This is a Haman and Mordecai situation.
Exactly.
The Bible, where Haman built the gallows to go against his enemy, to hang Mordecai, and ultimately Haman was hanged on the gallows that he built. In this particular case, when he was a legislator, there was no crime apparently in a domestic dispute when one person choked the other person. Mm-hmm. He was the person who pushed that bill. And under New York law, if you choke at different levels, there's two different kinds of criminal violations. One for just light choking would be a misdemeanor punishable by up to 1 year in prison. The other one would be more significant choking, not death, obviously, but choking, where you would get multiple years, serious crime. That's exactly what this guy did. And the stories of these women who did not know each other are parallel in terms of what he did.
Right.
The same kind of thing. Slapped them so hard that their ears rang, that they had to get medical treatment, that it caused, in one case, blood to flow from this one woman's ear, and ultimately choked them so hard that they were losing their breath.
You know, I really commend these women for their bravery to come forward. The article in The New Yorker really details so much of what he did. I mean, to the degree even he required one woman to call him master and treated him as a slave.
Yeah, she's Sri Lankan, so she has more of a brown complexion.
Talk about a control issue.
And he called her his brown slave.
He demanded that she call him master. And he demanded that she repeat that she is his property.
Yeah, it's like he's thinking he is a god.
Yeah, here's his statement. As he resigned, of course, he gave a non-denial denial. He said, "In the privacy of intimate relationships, I have engaged in role-playing and other consensual sexual activity. I have not assaulted anyone. I've never engaged in non-consensual sex, which is a line I would not cross." There's a whole lot he didn't address there, but he calls it consensual. Each of these women said that the beatings they took at his hands and his fists was anything but consensual.
All the women say this was not part of some sexual relations. This was just, it came out of nowhere. He would drink a lot. In one case, the woman said he would drink 2 bottles of wine a night and then drink other hard liquor as well, and tried to force her to drink with him, and literally would even grab her face, just like a mother does to a child wanting that child to eat, and pucker her mouth and force her to drink, even so that the drink would come down on her mouth and onto her chest. This was the guy that was literally trying to force them to do that. He is someone who then just would literally beat them. And when the women would say, "What in the world are you doing?" and try to flee from him, here's what he would say. Every woman wants to have this happen to them. They just don't admit it. Every woman wants this to happen to them, and you are my, and I'm not going to say the word, but he would tell them what women want, that women actually, deep down inside, want to be physically beaten.
I mean, how
sick can you get? And it's one thing to be this sick, this, frankly, satanic, because this comes from the pits of hell.
This is.
But it's also another thing for this person to be the highest law enforcement officer of one of the largest states in America, New York, who has the power and the money and the resources and the staff to put the entire weight of the state of New York against an individual. And that's what he did.
Right. He threatened that against the women that he was beating, too, if they went forward. And the hypocrisy here is palpable. And we see that hypocrisy on the left. He set himself up as, he portrayed himself as this big proponent of women's rights. Now it turns out he was an absolute and utter misogynist. He was part of the hashtag MeToo movement and so forth, you know, promoted himself as a champion of women. That's part of the irony here.
Yeah, and he was very radical pro-abortion. He worked at an abortion clinic. He did this particular press conference when he filed suit against our clients in front of an abortion clinic that opened in 1971, the owner of which said that abortion is the taking of a human life. This was something that she had said, and she was one of his people who testified at the trial. And therein, she said, lies the power of women, that women, through abortion, have the power to kill another human being in order to not interfere with their particular decisions. This is the kind of muck that this guy operated in. We're going to talk more about this situation tomorrow on Faith and Freedom. But you can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, and click on some of the press releases that we did regarding Eric Schneiderman. Continue to pray for our case because it's still going on. The attorney general is gone, but someone else will replace him, and we have to continue to defend these innocent pro-lifers in New York, all initiated by this person, Eric Schneiderman, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Call us at 407-875-1776. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.